And it was going to be different, but that's okay. But then I thought, oh, no, maybe do this instead. Let's do this instead. So I started to prepare my mind to do that. And then I thought, no, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that instead. And I actually wrote that one out in full. I wasn't planning on doing it, but I was up till about 2 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday night because I just suddenly thought, I'm going to do this. And then I woke up on Thursday morning and thought, no, it's all wrong. All twisted up in knots. Do this, do that. And I suppose that's the risk of the season, isn't it? This run-up to Christmas, it can be very disorientating, can't it? Very disorientating. You know, it's so good to listen to all the different things that are going on. When Linda was going around with the mic, I thought that was brilliant to hear. I heard someone say this week that these are some of our signs and wonders in our community here. Just fantastic. So I'm not talking about any of that. But maybe there's so much going on and so much to do that perhaps we can end up not doing the very things that we should be doing at this time of year. I can't be the only one who feels like this. So early Thursday morning, I checked some Twitter feeds. There's some people I like to follow, some people I'm really interested in what they have to say. And along came the help of the very wonderful, but sadly late, Rachel Held Evans. Is it Dan? I think her husband's called Dan. He posted something on from Rachel. If you ever get a chance to read anything from Rachel Held Evans, she's just a delight. She's a delight. And then I realized reading this that we were back to plan A. We're back to plan A. So this morning, I just want to start by asking you to breathe. I just want you to breathe. In and out. I'd like you to get yourself comfortable. I'm going to do things a little bit different this morning. We have the image. Is anyone on the balcony? It's perfect timing, actually. Have you ever been in one of those amazing, iconic European cities, like Rome or, I don't know, some of these ancient European cities? And they're absolutely bustling and full of life. I love going through those cities, spending time. And it's full of energy and life. And then you come across a beautiful ancient church. You've been there? You come across a beautiful ancient church. And it's full of wonderful statues and images. And you step inside. And the only way I can describe it is, do you know what I'm talking about? The moment you walk through those doors, it's a sense of peace, a sense of safety. You're safe. You're safe. You feel it. Or maybe for you it's that quiet, still moment at a lakeside. Do you recognize the image? Does anyone know the name of this tree or the lake? This is called the Lone Tree at Buttermere. It sits right at the top near the Bridge Inn. The Lone Tree. If you Google the Lone Tree, you'll find lots of images of it. Maybe for you, it's sat by that lake, and you just stop. You put down your map, and you stop. Safe. You know, I seriously question whether I, and I'm going to speak about myself here, and it's up to you if you choose to join me in this, because maybe this isn't you. But I seriously question whether I can do the necessary work of Advent because I am so freaking busy and distracted. Am I the only one? You know, is it even possible, and I say this carefully and respectfully because I'm involved as anybody here, but is it possible that even when we come to church, that somehow we continue to push through, ready for the next thing, and we never really stop and connect? I think sometimes in our church tradition, we do well to listen to that tradition where people would go to church, like I described before, and it's a stop. And I wonder whether today, that's what a lot of people really, really need. a place to come and do that, because it might be the only time that they do that for the entire week. So this morning, I just want you to breathe and listen to these three words. You are safe. You are safe. Spirit of God, will you help us to connect with you this morning? Will you commune with us? We come in search of sanctuary, a safe place to shed the masks and exhale. We also come to air our dirt in laundry before God and everybody, because when we do it together, we don't have to be afraid. Darby, where are you? John, you were brilliant last week. Absolutely brilliant. Love listening to you last week. That was what I would call a proper sermon. If you haven't listened to it, please, it's online. Listen to it. There's a disc at the back. Absolutely fabulous. I think the amount of work and preparation that John will have put in to prepare that for us was just, we're just so grateful, John, for that. You talked about Advent, you talked about that time of waiting. You talked about that time of proactive waiting. I think that's what grabbed me, that sense of when we wait, there's that sense of expectation. So listen to the words of Rachel Held Evans. Advent is a season of anticipation, of holy waiting. It is a waiting characterized not by idleness or even contented peace, but by prophetic, active hope. Perhaps more than any other season in the Christian calendar, Advent acknowledges the already and not yet nature of the kingdom of God. In remembering the anticipation of Christ's first coming, we acknowledge and nurture our anticipation of Christ's second coming. Advent is a season for the prophets, for the dreamers, for the poets. A great light is shown, but there is still so much darkness to pierce, so much gloom to overcome. But Advent should be a season of surprises too, of God showing up when and where we least expect. Emmanuel, in a womb, in a barn, as a poor minority in an oppressive empire, at a soup kitchen, at that church service you resisted attending, in that family member with whom you disagree, in every corner of the world, to your kitchen. It's a season to slow down and pay attention, to listen to the prophets, and to look for God in God's distressing disguises. A few weeks ago, I listened to a lovely meditation by a lady called Lisa Gunga. Has anyone heard of Lisa Gunga? I know a few who have listened to a lovely meditation. And it was called You Are Safe. And I suppose that's where this journey started for me, really. It was like a tonic. I was actually in the gym, which I know is a perfect place to listen to a meditation. It's actually the gym at the time with my earphones on the treadmill. And it really got me. Really got me. But then again, I began to wrestle. How safe do we feel, or should we feel? Because there's some serious stuff going on in the world and in the people around us, aren't there? Some serious, serious stuff going on. I really wrestled with this. Because there will be so many people who right here, right now, maybe here or on the other side of the planet, understandably feel very unsafe. Your essence, your core feels rattled, feels threatened. And it's just no good me saying something here that is a more reflection of my personal middle-class comfort than any broad, profound theological truth. We've got to keep this real, haven't we? And when we stand here, we have to recognize that this has got to be real for people in far more difficult circumstances than it is for me right here. What about the events on London Bridge? It could have been us. What about people suffering from oppression, discrimination? Maybe even people here in this room. What about children doing their GCSEs? Any parents whose children are doing their GCSEs? My son has just done his mocks. Whoa, some pressure there, isn't there, these days for them? What about, we mentioned before, Colin, I'm glad you mentioned that, people suffering from the life-changing effects of global climate change, maybe here right now. We have an election coming up, unless you didn't know. It's interesting, isn't it? We hear a lot of things, don't we? Sometimes it feels like we just hear the same things over and over again, but then occasionally we hear something and we think, yeah, that's true, that's true. We live in troubled, decisive times, and someone said, it's almost like the center ground where in the past British politics has often been won, has been completely vacated at this time, and we have two extremes. And it's sometimes a sense that it's that center ground where there is that harmony, isn't there, and that peace and that coming together. But just at this moment in time, there ain't nobody in the center ground, as far as I can see. It's very polarized, and it doesn't really feel very safe, especially if you're a businessman this morning. It doesn't feel very safe. A hard Brexit is very frightening. We have to be so careful what we vote for in terms of the implications on other people around us. I also think that autumn can actually be quite a difficult time for some people in terms of their mental health. I know quite a few people at the moment who just find autumn incredibly challenging. There's something about the weather, the season, maybe the pressure. I think there's perhaps even a lot of us who wouldn't necessarily describe ourselves as having issues or problems with mental health, but actually somehow find this time of year can be quite challenging. I have got some good news coming up. Just have to keep this real, people. But what if there is hope? There you have it. What if there is hope? What if there is hope for us and all the people I've just listed above? In the fundamental essence of the God we follow, or that's understood and witnessed through the coming of Jesus, what if there is hope for all of those people and for us? I think there is. Listen to the ancient word. You could put that track on again, actually, Mark. Listen to the ancient word repeated by John the Baptist to declare the entrance of Jesus into our world. You've probably heard these words before. It said, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. What does that mean? Well, it means probably a lot of things. But one of the things it means is that he's coming. He's found a way through to you. You don't have to somehow find a way through to him, but he's actually found a way through to you, and it's a straight path. He's made a straight path to you. He's here, and we are safe. If only we knew. And not that we'll be necessarily sheltered or protected or whisked away, because I can't pretend to believe that's true, not anymore. But what if he stands beside us and we are safe? He stands beside us and we are safe. Not because of anything we've done, because it's all a gift, isn't it? It's all a gift. And we choose whether to participate with the gift. Just get this sense that God stands beside us with his sleeves rolled up, with his hands filthy, and he's there ready to work through whatever you're working through at this time with you, and you are safe. And as we heard before, when Linda went round listening to all the people talking, church community has such a massive role in making that happen, to making people feel that. Maybe that's one of the primary ways that God has chosen to operate today. But I worry that in all the noise in the lead up to Christmas, we risk missing all of this completely. We're noisy, busy, distracted, or maybe even constantly crying out for an escape. But the truth of the matter is that he's been there right beside us and you all along. And what if the best way out is through? What if the best way out is through? And I know that's hard to hear for some people. But what if the best way out is through? And I know that isn't going to win any elections, but what if it's true? What if it's true? Listen to Acts 7, some more ancient words repeated, but this time by Stephen. But check this out. This is just before his execution. And it's almost like, if you know the story, that the people who were around him have already got the rocks in their hands, ready to finish him off. And he repeats these words from the prophet Isaiah. He says, this is the words of the Lord. He says, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. So what kind of house will you build for me? What is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, and that includes the houses of Parliament. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. So what kind of house will you build for me? What is he saying here? I'm not in a box, but I'm just out there with you, right beside you. Right here, right now. No drums are required to get his attention, because he is here and you are safe. So in Advent, let's dwell on the fundamental essence of God, that he comes to us and we can connect to him and we are safe. Then I read last night, I do like to read in the bath. Has anyone got a Kindle? Get a waterproof case for your Kindle. It's amazing. I was there with my glass of mulled wine and my Kindle. And it was Rachel Held Evans again. I thought I'd read another chapter just to see if there was anything else. And there was. And there was. She said, imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe. Just check this out. This is so good. She said, imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe, but no one is comfortable. Now, I like that. Because just because we say we're safe doesn't mean we don't have to work through this stuff. It's so important that we understand who we are and what we have to work through as a person. And that God will work through us, with us through that. But listen, you are safe. Imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe, but no one is comfortable. So, I think many of us might need some help here. I think many of us might need some help with this. Maybe help just to breathe and to find some space in this crazy, great, busy time to try and get a handle on that. So Lisa Gunga, she put together a meditation called You Are Safe, and it lasts for about 12 minutes. And I found it very helpful, and I decided that it was a shame not to offer you the chance to experience this too. And I could read it myself, but honestly, as you will discover very quickly, her voice is far, far better than mine, especially as yesterday I was shouting my head off at Goodison Park. Because I think we would benefit from a little more quiet and space, but I think we're not always very good at sitting in silence. So maybe meditations like this are actually quite helpful, because they're kind of like a middle ground. They kind of silence us, but then they guide us too. So we're going to play this. We're going to play this, and at the end, we're just going to pause, because you never quite know what to do after something like this. So this is what we're going to do, okay? We're going to pause just for a few moments, yeah? And I'm going to pray for us all. And then I'm going to put on a piece of music that I really enjoyed listening to this morning, okay? All right? And then we're going to go out and we're going to drink tea and we're going to share life together, because that's such an important part of what we do here, okay? One final note, if this isn't, please listen to this, if this isn't your kind of thing, that is absolutely okay, because we're all different. And if it isn't your kind of thing, please just bear in mind that it might be helpful for other people here in this room. So just bear with us, and it won't take long. It'll be over soon, okay? And I encourage you that if you are anything like me, who is forever tempted to fiddle with your smartphone, which is maybe part of the whole problem, or a symptom of the whole problem. So, right, Sam, you don't need to look so guilty. Put it away, mate, put it away. Put your phone away, put it away now. Maybe even close your books, everything, put everything away. And if you're anything like me, that when it gets quiet, you actually might end up just nodding off. And I'm not going to look at anybody, but you know who you are. You might want to just nudge forward on your chair a little bit so you're not leaning back, just to make yourself feel a little bit more alert. That might help you. So we're going to play this, and it lasts about 12 minutes. And as I say, then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to put a piece of music on that I really enjoyed. It might surprise you what it is, but hey-ho. Yeah? And then we're going to share fellowship together. Is that okay, everybody? Great. I had terrible visions of people walking out at this moment. But you're not going to do that to me. Okay, great. Mark.
It is a privilege to do this meditation with you today.
A bit louder, please. Yeah.
A little while back, a combination of body meditations and therapy began excavating years of programming and trauma for me. And like a floodgate opening, fear came barreling out. I had never thought of myself as a fearful person, but now that I was trying to move forward, I could clearly see how fear navigated so many of my steps. Sometimes it felt like too much. I wanted to quit. All the reasons why I should be afraid were relentless, whispering to me every time I took a step in the direction of my own heart. Sometimes fear had a specific face, but other times I noticed all that was happening was fear of the fear of the fear. So I began to sit with fear. I let it sit in front of me and see it for what it is. In the sitting, its face began to change. Not with force, but with just noticing, seeing it for what it was. Ram Dass says, fear is the result of getting stuck in the middle, the result of ignorance. I came across a passage that has helped me tremendously. It's from a man named Emmanuel. I'll read the passage three times, and I invite you to find a comfortable position. You can close your eyes if you'd like. Let your body hear what it needs to hear. What does the voice of fear whisper to you? Fear speaks to you in logic and reason. It assumes the language of love itself. Fear tells you, I want to make you safe. Love says, you are safe. Fear says, give me symbols, give me frozen images, give me something I can rely on. Loving truth says, only give me this moment. Fear would walk you on a narrow path, promising to take you where you want to go. Love says, open your arms and fly with me. Every moment of your life, you are offered the opportunity to choose love or fear. To tread the earth or soar the heavens. Why would fear want to oppose truth? Because truth has the power to transform fear. Fear believes it is fighting for its life. I want to say something about the subtle inroads fear can make in our lives. If you no longer allow fear to step blatantly before you and shout of cataclysm, it will creep behind you and whisper something reasonable in your ear. Beware of reasonable rational thinking, reasonable supposition. Doubt is the rabbit's foot of fear. Ask your higher wisdom if it is not true without worry, you would have arrived exactly where you are right now, and more pleasantly. Worry and fear are not tickets on the express train. They are extra baggage. You are going that way anyway. Love says, you are safe. The second time reading through this passage, if you're comfortable with doing this, I invite you to take notice of what it is you are afraid of. And hold that in your mind as you hear these words again. Not in judgment, not in pushing it away or pushing it down, not combating it or facing it head on, just noticing what the fear is. And remember, you are safe. What does the voice of fear whisper to you? Fear speaks to you in logic and reason. It assumes the language of love itself. Fear tells you, I want to make you safe. Love says, you are safe. Fear says, give me symbols, give me frozen images, give me something I can rely on. Loving truth says, only give me this moment. Fear would walk you on a narrow path, promising to take you where you want to go. Love says, open your arms and fly with me. Every moment of your life, you are offered the opportunity to choose love or fear, to tread the earth or soar the heavens. Why would fear want to oppose truth? Because truth has the power to transform fear. Fear believes it is fighting for its life. I want to say something about the subtle inroads fear can make in your lives. If you no longer allow fear to step blatantly before you and shout of cataclysm, it will creep behind you and whisper something reasonable in your ear. Beware of reasonable rational thinking, reasonable supposition. Doubt is the rabbit's foot of fear. Ask your higher wisdom if it is not true without worry, you would have arrived exactly where you are right now, and more pleasantly. Worry and fear are not tickets on the express train. They are extra baggage. You were going that way anyway. Fear tells you, I want to make you safe. Love says, you are safe. Okay. Now for the third time through. And this time, notice if your body feels different. Is there less tension? When you hold that thing that you are or were afraid of, has it softened? And if so, Where do you feel that in your body? What does the voice of fear whisper to you? Fear speaks to you in logic and reason. It assumes the language of love itself. Fear tells you, I want to make you safe. Love says, you are safe. Fear says, give me symbols, give me frozen images, give me something I can rely on. Loving truth says, only give me this moment. Fear would walk you on a narrow path, promising to take you where you want to go. Love says, open your arms and fly with me. Every moment of your life, you are offered the opportunity to choose love or fear, to tread the earth or soar the heavens. Why would fear want to oppose truth? Because truth has the power to transform fear. Fear believes it is fighting for its life. I want to say something about the subtle inroads fear can make in your lives. If you no longer allow fear to step blatantly before you and shout of cataclysm, it will creep behind you and whisper something reasonable in your ear. Beware of reasonable, rational thinking, reasonable supposition. Doubt is the rabbit's foot of fear. Ask your higher wisdom, if it is not true without worry, would you have arrived exactly right where you are right now? And more pleasantly, worry and fear are not tickets on the express train. They are extra baggage. You were going there anyway. Fear says, I want to make you safe. Love says, you are safe. Fear will tell you, I want to make you safe. But love says, you are safe. You are safe. You, my love, are safe.
Told you her voice was much better than mine. So, bless you. I hope for some of you that was helpful. Just a moment to pause in this wonderful time of year. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. Are you ready, Mark?